Doctrine and Covenants and Church History Gospel Doctrine Teacher's Manual, Lesson 25, Priesthood, the Power of Godliness. Purpose: to help class members gain a greater understanding of the priesthood and seek the blessings that come from using it righteously. Preparation: 1. Prayerfully study the following scriptures and other materials. A. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 84, verses 33 through 34. Section 121, verses 34 through 46. B. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 107, Supplemental Scriptures. C. Our Heritage, pages 26 through 27. 2. Review the material for this lesson in the Class Member Study Guide, item 35686. Plan ways to refer to the material during the lesson. Suggestions for lesson development. Attention activity. As appropriate, use the following activity or one of your own to begin the lesson. Invite class members to share reasons why they are grateful to be members of the church. Write their responses on the chalkboard. Which of these things would be possible without the priesthood? Most likely, none of the things class members have listed would be possible without the priesthood. For example, if class members express gratitude for eternal marriage, point out that this would not be possible without the sealing power of the priesthood. Even something as simple as unity in the church would not be possible without prophets, apostles, and other priesthood leaders who help us gain a unity of the faith. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. See also verses 10 through 12. Explain that this lesson discusses the priesthood and some of the covenants and blessings that are associated with it. Discussion and application. Prayerfully select the lesson material that will best meet the class members' needs. Encourage class members to share experiences that relate to the scriptural principles. 1. Order in the restoration of the priesthood and its offices. The Aaronic priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood were restored to the earth in 1829. See Lesson 8. Following the organization of the church in 1830, the Lord gradually revealed priesthood offices, quorums, and councils as needed to provide leadership for the growth of the church. The following timeline summarizes this restoration. Write it on the chalkboard and review it with class members. The scripture references may be omitted from the chalkboard. Aaronic priesthood, May 15, 1829. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 13. Melchizedek priesthood, May or June 1829. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 128, verse 20. Apostles, elders, priests, teachers, and deacons, April 1830. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 20, verses 38 through 60. Bishop, February 4, 1831. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 41, verses 9 through 10. High priests, June 1831. Heading to Doctrine and Covenants, Section 52. First Presidency, 1832 through 1833. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 81 and Section 90. Patriarch, December 18, 1833. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, pages 38 through 39. High Council, February 17, 1834. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 102. Quorum of the 12 Apostles, 1835. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 107, verses 23 through 24. 70s, 1835. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 107, verse 25. First Quorum of the 70, 1835. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 107, verse 26, and verses 93 through 97. explain that in our day, the Lord continues to give revelations about the organization and responsibilities of the priesthood to guide the growth of the church. One example of this is the calling of Area Authority 70s and the accompanying organization of the 3rd, 4th, and 5th Quorums of the 70 in 1997. See Lesson 42, pages 247 through 248. 2. The Oath and Covenant of the Priesthood. Write Oath and Covenant of the Priesthood on the chalkboard. Explain that in addition to revelations about priesthood offices and government, the Lord revealed principles about receiving and exercising the priesthood. For example, He revealed the Oath and Covenant of the Priesthood, which is found in Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 33 through 44. These verses outline 1. The covenants a man makes with the Lord when he receives the Melchizedek priesthood, and 2. The covenants the Lord makes with faithful Melchizedek priesthood holders. Elder Carlos E. Acey of the 70s said, "Of all the holy agreements pertaining to the gospel of Jesus Christ, few, if any, would transcend in importance the oath and covenant of the priesthood. It is certainly one of the most sacred agreements, for it involves the sharing of heavenly powers and man's upward reaching toward eternal goals." In Conference Report, October 1985, page 56, or Ensign, November 1985, page 43. As you discuss the oath and covenant of the priesthood, emphasize that the blessings of the priesthood are not confined to men alone. These blessings are also poured out upon all the faithful women of the church. The Lord offers to His daughters every spiritual gift and blessing that can be obtained by His sons, for neither is the man without the woman, nor the woman without the man in the Lord. Joseph Fielding Smith, in Conference Report, April 1970, page 59, or Improvement Era, June 1970, page 66. See also Alma, chapter 32, verse 23. Write Priesthood Holders Covenant 2 on the chalkboard. What do priesthood holders promise as part of the oath and covenant of the priesthood? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 33, and verse 36, and verses 39 through 44. Summarize class members' responses on the chalkboard. Priesthood Holders Covenant 2, A. Be faaithful in obtaining the Aaronic priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood, verse 33. B. Magnify their callings, verse 33. C. Receive the Lord's servants, verse 36. D. Give diligent heed to the words of eternal life, verses 43 through 44. What does it mean to magnify a calling? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 99, Jacob, chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. President Gordon B. Hinckley said, "We magnify our priesthood and enlarge our calling when we serve with diligence and enthusiasm in those responsibilities to which we are called by proper authority. We magnify our calling. We enlarge the potential of our priesthood when we reach out to those in distress and give strength to those who falter. We magnify our calling when we walk with honesty and integrity." In Conference Report, April 1989, page 63, or Ensign, May 1989, pages 48 through 49. How have you been blessed by someone who magnified his or her calling? Explain that as we magnify our callings, it is important that we find the correct balance so we do not neglect our families. Elder Neil A. Maxwell of the Quorum of the Twelve said, "Sometimes, unintentionally, even certain extracurricular church activities, insensitively administered, can hamper family life. Instructively, after the resurrected Jesus taught the Nephites, He said, 'Go ye unto your homes, and ponder upon the things which I have said, and pray, and prepare for the morrow. 3 Nephi chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus did not say, "Go you to your civic clubs, town meetings, or even stake centers." In Conference Report April 1994, page 120, or Ensign May 1994, page 89. What does it mean to receive the Lord's servants? Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 36. Explain that as we accept the message and ordinances of the gospel from the Lord's servants, we also receive the Lord. Write "The Lord Covenants 2" on the chalkboard. What blessings does the Lord promise as part of the oath and covenant of the priesthood? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 33 through 34, verse 38, and verse 42. Summarize class members' responses on the chalkboard. The Lord Covenants 2, A, sanctify us by the Spirit, verse 33. B, renew our bodies, verse 33. C. Give us the blessings promised to Abraham and his posterity, verse 34. D. Make us his elect or chosen, verse 34. E. Give us all that the Father has, verse 38. F. Give his angels charge over us, verse 42. The Lord promises that if we are faithful, we will become the seed of Abraham and the elect of God. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 33 through 34. What are the blessings and responsibilities of the seed of Abraham? See Abraham, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Abraham, chapter 2, verse 11, indicates that all the families of the earth will be blessed through the priesthood. How can this be accomplished? The crowning promise in the oath and covenant of the priesthood is that we can receive all that the Father hath. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 38. How can knowledge of this promise help us in times of adversity? How can it help us in times of plenty? 3. Principles for using the priesthood. Teach and discuss Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verses 34 through 46. Explain that in these verses, the Lord reveals principles for using the priesthood. He also reveals promises to those who use it righteously. In addition to their application to priesthood holders, these principles apply generally to all human relationships. Therefore, they are also important for those who do not hold the priesthood. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verses 34 through 40, the Lord reveals why some priesthood holders are not able to exercise the priesthood with power. According to these verses, what prevents them from doing this? Answers could include setting their hearts on the things of the world, aspiring to the honors of men, attempting to cover sins, gratifying pride or vain ambition, and exercising unrighteous dominion. What are some examples of caring too much for the things of this world? Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verse 35. How can seeking what the world offers keep us from receiving what the Lord offers? How can a person overcome this problem? What are some ways that people exercise unrighteous dominion? Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verse 39. See also verse 37. What are the consequences of doing this? How can a person overcome a tendency to exercise unrighteous dominion? Emphasize that the priesthood may be used only in righteousness and a spirit of love as a means of serving and blessing others. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the Twelve said, "Those who hold the priesthood must never forget that they have no right to wield priesthood authority like a club over the heads of others in the family or in church callings. Any man who seeks to use the priesthood in any degree of unrighteousness in the church or in the home simply does not understand the nature of his authority. Priesthood is for service, not servitude, compassion, not compulsion, caring, not control. In Conference Report, October 1993, page 105, or Ensign, November 1993, page 78. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verses 41 through 42, the Lord reveals principles that will help priesthood holders exercise the priesthood with power. What are these principles? How can we apply these principles as we interact with family members, neighbors, associates at work, and others? You may want to discuss how to apply these principles in specific situations, such as when helping a child make a decision or complete a task, when making decisions in church councils, when someone has failed to fulfill an assignment, or when there are serious differences of opinion. What principles for giving correction or discipline are revealed in Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verses 43 through 44? Explain that betimes means promptly or soon. In the context of this passage, with sharpness means clearly or precisely, not severely or roughly. What experiences in your life have confirmed the importance of these principles? How do the consequences of disciplining with love differ from the consequences of disciplining with anger? What does it mean to let virtue garnish thy thoughts unceasingly? Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verse 45. How can we keep evil or unvirtuous thoughts out of our minds? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 27, verses 15 through 18. How can we more actively fill our minds with virtuous thoughts? What does the Lord promise if we are full of charity and let virtue garnish our thoughts unceasingly? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verses 45 through 46. What does it mean to be confident in the presence of God? See the following quotation. What blessings do we receive when the Holy Ghost is our constant companion? While serving in the Quorum of the Twelve, Elder Gordon B. Hinckley said, "It has been my privilege on various occasions to converse with presidents of the United States and important men in other governments. At the close of each such occasion, I have reflected on the rewarding experience of standing with confidence in the presence of an acknowledged leader. And then I have thought, what a wonderful thing, what a marvelous thing it would be to stand with confidence, unafraid and unashamed and unembarrassed, in the presence of God. This is the promise held out to every virtuous man and woman." In Conference Report, October 1970, page 66, or Improvement Era, December 1970, page 73. Conclusion. Bear testimony of the importance of the priesthood. Express your gratitude for the oath and covenant of the priesthood and for the blessings the Lord promises if we are faithful. Encourage class members to seek more fully the blessings of the priesthood. Additional teaching ideas. You may want to use one or both of the following ideas to supplement the suggested lesson outline. 1. Presiding quorums in the church. An important part of the restoration of priesthood authority was the organization of the presiding quorums of the church. Counselors had been called to assist the prophet Joseph as early as March 1832, Doctrine and Covenants, section 81, verse 1. And the first presidency was formally organized 1 year later. See the heading to Doctrine and Covenants, section 90. In February 1835, 12 men were called and ordained to be apostles, and the Quorum of the Twelve was formed. Soon afterward, the prophet organized the first Quorum of the 70. What are the responsibilities of members of the first presidency? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 9, verse 22, verses 65 through 66, verses 78 through 81, verses 91 through 92, and section 112, verses 30 through 32. What are the responsibilities of members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verse 23, verse 33, verse 35, verse 39, and verse 58. Section 112, verses 30 through 32. What are the responsibilities of members of the Quorum of the 70? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 25 through 26, verse 34, verse 38, and verse 97. How are our lives blessed by the service of the presiding officers of the church? 2. The importance of priesthood service. Invite a priesthood holder in the ward to share a priesthood experience with the class, such as administering the sacrament to a homebound person, assisting with a priesthood blessing, or serving a mission. Have this priesthood holder discuss the feelings he had as he provided this service. Have him bear his testimony of the priesthood and the importance of using the priesthood to serve others. End of Lesson 25, Priesthood, the Power of Godliness, Doctrine and Covenants and Church History Gospel Doctrine Teacher's Manual.